Thank you and good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's good to be with you again on this another Lord's Day and to share God's Word. I just want to mention something for prayer. Some of you know that I'm supposed to be making a ministry trip to Manila, the Philippines, in April. And we all know about coronaviruses and all that good stuff. We need you to pray. The Lord gave me a word yesterday, and the day before, about having no misgivings. That was God's clear word to me. Have no misgivings. The Lord assured me He's got it all in control, and in His time He'll work it all out. But please pray. Please pray. It's going to be a significant time over there teaching in a Bible school, and we're looking forward to it in the will of the Lord. But I don't want to do anything stupid and bring back a coronavirus. Do you know what I mean? That's why we need wisdom, and that's why I need you to pray. So please do. All right, we're in John's Gospel on these four Sundays. We were together last week, today, and then the Brother Nessum is coming next week, and then I'm back again another two Sundays. So we're going to be in John's Gospel for all of those messages, and today we're going to be in probably one of the best known chapters in the whole Bible, and that is John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And you'll remember, if I may just refresh your memory, that before we read the scriptures, last week we were in chapter 1, and we were thinking particularly of John's view of Jesus, how John looked at Jesus. And John was concerned to look at Jesus as the God-man, the one who revealed God perfectly and completely. And when you get that into your mind and you understand the magnitude of that, that Jesus Christ was the revelation of God to humanity, and therefore there is no excuse for us not knowing the reality and the existence of God and how real He can be in our lives. He is our Creator. He longs for fellowship with us. That's why He made man and woman in the first place. And God wants to see humanity today reconciled to Him. And we don't need to tell you, of course, that my sin, your sin, if I may be so bold, has separated us from God. That's basically where all the problems come from in our world today. And this is you've no idea how it thrills me to have the opportunity every time to preach the gospel and tell people this wonderful news, how we can be reconciled to our Creator and live our lives in the enjoyment of His presence and His power every day that we live. So, keeping that in mind, and what John tells us in chapter 1 about this revelation of God to humanity, and how the Lord Jesus tells us everything that God is. Now, we're going to read from chapter 3 then, from verse 1 and down to verse 21. And these are very important verses. Please listen and follow the reading if you can. It says, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to Him, 'Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?' Jesus answered, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from or where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can these things be?' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Are you a teacher of Israel, and you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we've seen, and you do not accept our testimony. If I told you of earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven, but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. Now that is a very wonderful passage in God's Word, and my plan today, by the help of the Lord, is simply that we together would walk through this chapter, or through those verses that we've read together, and just see what we can learn from them, because there are some very important things for us to learn. So we go to verse 1, where he says, talks about this man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, and he was a ruler of the Jews. And he comes to the Lord Jesus, and he comes with questions. He came to Jesus by night, almost secretly. Rabbi, we know you've come from God, as a teacher. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Now, we noticed last week that when John uses this word signs, he's talking about the miracles of Jesus. This is a word that's kind of peculiar to John. And he's using that word because every time Jesus performed the miracle, it was a sign of who he is. It was a demonstration that he really is the God-man, God manifest in flesh. Now, Nicodemus, he must have witnessed the Lord Jesus do various things at different times. He must have heard Jesus speak. He had lots of questions in his mind. He must have seen Jesus perform miracles. And when you go and you look at Matthew's account of the ministry of Jesus, you find in Matthew chapter 4, for example, it says that Jesus was going through all Galilee doing three things. He was teaching in their synagogues, he was proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and he was healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. He was doing these three things. He was teaching, proclaiming, and healing. And Nicodemus must have witnessed this, and he had never seen anything like it in his life before. And so he's full of questions. He wants to know more. And he comes to the Lord Jesus with his questions. Nobody can do these signs. But he says, you got to be from God to be able to do these things. The penny was beginning to drop for this guy. You got to be from God to do these things. No ordinary individual could do the miracles that you're doing, Nicodemus is saying. And Jesus says to him, truly, truly, I say to you. Now, remember, Nicodemus must have heard some of the teaching of Jesus. So Jesus says, bearing in mind, Nicodemus, what you've seen, bearing in mind what you've heard up till now, I want to emphasize it's all heading to a particular crisis moment, if you like. It's all heading to this thing, Nicodemus. I'm saying to you, I'm telling you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, when it says, if you go, remember last week again, verse 13 of chapter 1, those who receive the Lord Jesus, he gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood or the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. And when Jesus says to Nicodemus, you must be born again, it means you must be born from above. If you must be born from above, it's a God thing that needs to happen in your life, Nicodemus. You're not asking you to become religious. I'm not asking you to join a particular sect or denomination. Nicodemus, the basic need of all humanity is to be born from above, to have a miracle of God's power happen in your life and in your experience. And dear friends, this morning I want to say to you, let's hear this word of Jesus. Let's take it to our own hearts. I'm asking you today, do you know you've been born from above? Do you know that there has been a miracle of God's grace and power has taken place in your life that has totally changed you from the inside out, so that you know that you're a new person? Now, this is important. And you can imagine, if you were Nicodemus and you're hearing the Lord Jesus speak here, it must have been pretty confusing for the guy. But let's emphasize the power of Jesus' words. And I'm going to read another scripture with you, if I may, in 1 Peter and chapter 1. It says there, "Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. So, for you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but of imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring word of God." Peter's saying here, this whole idea of being born again, he's showing these people, telling these challenging Christians about loving one another. To illustrate what I'm saying here is that I lead a Bible study in our living room every other Tuesday, and there's a bunch of guys that come together, and we're studying 1 John right now. And last Tuesday, we were looking at chapter 4 of 1 John, and we're looking there, and we were all quite overwhelmed by it, actually, where John shows us that God is love. And he's talking to us about loving one another. Now, I was pointing out to the guys how that I've got neighbors, I've got friends who don't know Jesus, and they're the most loving people you could ever think about. They're marvelous people, tremendous folk to know, and they're a privilege to know them. So what's John talking about here, people, when he's talking about loving one another? He's talking about something very special. He's saying God is love, and that if you're going to love one another, it's because the love of God is in your heart. He's pointing out, he's saying, notice what Peter says here. He's saying about loving one another, and loving one another fervently from the heart, for you have been born again. In other words, he's saying this kind of loving is absolutely impossible unless you've been born again. Because what it is, people, it's the love of God being reproduced in a human being. That takes the whole thing to a new level, you see. It's God literally loving through me. That's what Paul meant in the book of Romans when he said, the love of God is poured out within our hearts by the Holy Spirit that is given unto us. So that when my life is given over to him and I've been born again, we'll come talk about that a bit more as we go along, and I've been born again, God is literally taking up residence in my life. He's filling my life with his love. He is then able to love through me. Do you understand where I'm coming from here? Nod your head or do something. It's pretty exciting, is it not? It just touches every area of our lives. It touches every area of our lives. And the love of God being reproduced in you and me is the evidence that we have been born again. We all know that this is something I could not do. I couldn't make this happen by myself. I have to recognize that it's the work of God in my experience. And notice, he also says, Jesus says this, and this is important, people. Unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And as he said in verse 3, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, people, this is important. This is important. You don't drift into the kingdom of God. You have to be born again. And unless a person is born again, they have no hope of seeing the kingdom of God. Now that is a very solemn thing to think about, ladies and gentlemen. Unless we've been born again, there is no hope in the world that we'll ever be part of the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. Now I'm not going to I'm in danger right now of digressing. Matthew talks a lot about the kingdom of heaven. We come to John and he's talking about the kingdom of God. In a sense, the two can be used interchangeably. But on the other hand, the kingdom of heaven, he's talking about people who have come into relationship with God, with the Lord Jesus. Jesus said in Luke 7, wasn't it, the kingdom of is among you, is with you, is within you right now. Now, when we read this phrase, the kingdom of God, some people suggest that that's looking to the future when Jesus returns again and sets up his earthly kingdom, etc. And God rules totally and completely. Are you with me? Okay, but let's not get bogged down with that right now. Let's understand this, that if we're going to have an eternal future with God, if we're going to enjoy eternal life and be part of God's kingdom, there is no hope of that ever happening unless we've been born again. Now that means, ladies and gentlemen, that if I'm not born again, I have no hope for eternity. Are you hearing me? I'm not trying to be harsh today. I'm praying before I get up here today. Lord, love these people through me. People, I'm loving you with all the love God can pour through me right now. I just love you for Jesus' sake and longing that every man, woman, young person in this room will know for sure that they're born again and they have hope, that wonderful gift of God, which is eternal life. Because I say it again, solemnly, lovingly, and I trust in the power of God's Spirit, unless we've been born again, we have no hope for eternity. We will look forward to an eternity of separation from God, not belonging to the kingdom, in other words, spending eternity separated from God. That is a solemn thing, to say the least. Now, to elaborate on this, the Lord Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, as Nicodemus seems to get more confused than ever, he's saying, a man can't be born again, can't be born when he's old, can he? He can't go through the whole process all over again. Of course not, Jesus is saying. Think about it, man. Of course you can't. We all know that. Jesus says to him, truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, here he's elaborating on the thing even more. And he's saying, be born of water and of the Spirit. Now, you have to understand, people, Nicodemus, as we read, was a ruler of the Jews. He was a Pharisee. He knew the law of God better than anybody did. He was familiar with this concept that Jesus was mentioning here. And if you... I'm not saying you necessarily do it right now, but sometime you might like to do that. If you were going into the Old Testament to the book of Ezekiel in chapter 37, this is what would probably crop up in Nicodemus' mind. In Ezekiel 37, it's talking, among other things, about the people of Israel being renewed in their relationship with God. Them being renewed in the relationship of God, and in that process, the Lord says to them, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. Now, it was a ritual in those days where they would take hyssop, and they would put it in the water that had been prepared, and they would sprinkle the people and things that were to be purified. And this is the picture that's here in Ezekiel. But notice what he goes on to say. And by the way, when David, the psalmist, was repenting of his sin of adultery and murder, he says in verse 7 of Psalm 51, purify me with hyssop. That's what was in David's mind, I believe. Lord, I want to know that this purifying that only you can bring to my life. And so, but the thing about going back to Ezekiel, if I may, when this sprinkling happening, when God was saying to the people, I'll sprinkle you with clean water and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. And then listen to this. Moreover, I will give you a new heart. I'll give you a new heart, and I'll put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. Isn't that an exciting thought? God's saying, I want to cleanse you to the extent I'm going to put a new heart on the inside of you. And you, then you'll have the power and everything you need to walk in my statutes. You'll be renewed. You'll be made a new creation. Tremendous thing. And so he's saying, Jesus says to Nicodemus, now I'm going to say some more about that, about being born of water and of the Spirit. If you go further over in the New Testament, and you go to Ephesians chapter 5, and there Paul is talking about, among other things, he's talking about the relationship of husbands and wives, and so on, and how their husbands should treat their wives. And my wife's sitting in this congregation today, so I have to be rather careful what I say. We've been married for 55 years, people, so that's got to say something, amen? By the grace of God. But here he's saying, talking about this relationship, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church, gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. The washing of water with the word. You know, when the word of God comes to your heart, when God speaks to you through his word, you know that he's done that. Amen? Some heads are nodding. You know that he's done that. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God creates faith in a person's heart. And so Jesus is, or Paul is giving us this picture about being cleansed by the washing of water with the word. The word of God having that effect. My father-in-law used to tell a story about a guy who got a job as a gardener, and his boss gave him this, said the first day of his job, he gave him a sieve. You know, we used to call them a riddle. You know, the kind of thing you put a soil in and you shake it back and forward and all the good stuff comes through. And so he said, I want you to go and empty that barrel with this sieve. The guy thought he'd gone crazy. But then he said, that's impossible. What good will that do? The man said, it might not do too much good, but the sieve will be a lot cleaner. You know, the word of God has that kind of effect on us. Sometimes we read the word, sometimes we don't understand it all, but I tell you, when you're getting soaked in the word of God, you'll be a lot cleaner than you are before. The word of God has that cleansing effect, people. It has that cleansing effect. And when you go over to the book of Titus in the New Testament, in chapter 3, Paul says there, these are great words, he says, but when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Aren't these great words? Amen? The washing of regeneration. Regeneration means being made alive. Being made alive. That's what being born again is all about, people. Being made alive unto God. Being made alive with the very life of Jesus Christ. That is what it literally means, and it's a glorious thought. So Jesus says, I say to you, Nicodemus, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, unless you've been cleansed. Now, some people talk about baptism here, but I want to make something clear. While baptism is important, when a person goes into the water of baptism, they're no more a Christian after they come out of there than they were before. Amen? They go into the water of baptism to say, I want everybody to know I've been born again. I'm dead to my old life. I'm now alive in Jesus. Amen? That's why it's important to get baptized. I'm alive in Jesus. I'm living a new life. I'm living resurrection life. Now, I've been born again. Born again means resurrection life, people. The very life of Jesus coming to take up residence in us. And then Jesus goes on and he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. I hope you're getting this morning, people. If you're going to be a part of the kingdom of God, if you're going to be in heaven one day, you must be born again. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. You must. And I want to say something to you. When you've been born again, you will know that you've been born again. Well, what? Why? I mean, look, just think about it. Think about that expression, born again. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, if anybody's in Christ, he's a new, what? A new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. That kind of thing can't happen to you without you knowing something's happened. Amen? That's a miracle. That's a miracle. And this is what being born again, and I'm saying to you, I want to emphasize that God has laid this on my heart this morning. It could be somebody here today, and you're not sure yet. Have you been born again by the grace of God? So Nicodemus goes on and he says to Jesus, how can these things be? Could you be there this morning? How can these things be? Well, it's like Jesus says to him, keep listening, Nicodemus. Keep listening. He says, are you a teacher of Israel and you don't understand these things? We're speaking about what we know, he said. Testify of what we've seen and you don't accept our testimony. And then he goes on, I want to just jump down a couple of verses. And he says, remember this story in the book of Numbers, Nicodemus? Remember the story of when Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness? Do you remember that story? The people had rebelled against God. God sent a plague of fiery serpents among them. Many people were bitten and many died. Moses cried out to God for the remedy. God said, I want you to make a model of one of these snakes and put it on a pole. Made of brass, the snake, put it on a pole so that everybody can see it. And everyone who's been bitten, if they look at that snake on the pole, realizing this is God's provision, this is God's answer to their problem, and they look believing that that's from God, they're going to be healed just like that. And that's exactly what happened. Now Jesus said, you remember that story, Nicodemus? Ah, yeah, I remember that one. Then Jesus said, well, think about this. Think about this. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, even so, here's this word again, must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. Ha ha, we're getting down to the nub of the thing now. You want to know that this is real? This is how it all happens, Nicodemus. Just like that snake was lifted up in the desert, when the Son of Man is lifted up on the cross, when the Son of Man is lifted up, it's the same thing. Whoever believes in him, whoever looks to him and sees him as God's remedy for the sin of the world, for God's remedy to our hopelessness, and we see the significance of what Jesus has done, this is the answer. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. Back to chapter 1 again that we saw last week. This is how you believe in him. As many as received him, that's Jesus, to them gave he the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the wonder of it all. When Jesus Christ was raised up on that cross, he was God's answer to the deepest problem of the human heart. God's answer to the sin of the world. He was lifted up so that we look to him in faith. We receive him as our own Savior. When you're going to be born again, how do you do that? You embrace Jesus for yourself
So that's the only way I can think of putting it today. You just embrace Jesus for yourself. You take him to yourself. Lord, I'm believing that you did that for me. Lord, I'm trusting what you did for me on that cross to give me eternal life, to take away my hopelessness. I'm believing you, Lord Jesus. People, listen to me. Wow! Is this ever exciting when that happens, when you embrace Jesus like that? In a moment, you're born again. I was in a meeting, a lunchtime meeting, a week past Thursday. And there was a young guy there, and he was telling us a bit of his story. And he said, I met the Lord in the back seat of a stolen car. So I said, well, tell me a wee bit more. Tell me your story. He said, well, I was a drug dealer. I was an addict. I was a drug dealer. And I'm sitting in the back of this stolen car, and I'm sitting between two guys, and they were discussing how they were going to kill me and get rid of my body. Nice experience, huh? That was the topic of conversation. They're discussing how they're going to get rid of my body. And he said, right there, he said, you know what I did? He said, I prayed. He said, I prayed. I said, Jesus, if you're there, I need you right now. The whole atmosphere in that car changed in an instant. They said, you know, I sat in that seat of that car and I immediately became aware of the presence of God. Even these two guys started to be nice to me. That was a miracle, amen? Right there, that guy knew he had been born again. Do you get the picture? He knew he had been born again. Jesus responded to his cry of faith. He embraced Jesus. That young guy is filled with the life of Jesus today. He's planting new churches today. Isn't that awesome? That is just awesome. And people, it all comes down to seeing who Jesus is and what he's done for you and me. And listen to me. Oh, and when I grew up, I was taught to do this. I'm going to tell you something that happened to me about 100 years ago, you know. You read verse 16. For God so loved Clayton Dugan that he gave his only begotten son, that if Clayton Dugan would believe in him, he will not perish, but he'll have eternal life. Is that awesome or what? Put your name there. I want you to know God loves you with an everlasting, eternal love that led him to become one of us through Jesus, who went to the cross, was raised up to bear the sin of humanity, to take the judgment of God in my place. And if I look to him in faith and embrace him as my Savior, I will be born again. I will receive eternal life. And like I say, you can't receive eternal life and not know that you've got it. For God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn or judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Oh, I hope you're not in this category today. He who does not believe has been judged already. I've met many people in my life, dear friends, with whom I've had the privilege of sharing the good news of the gospel, and they have flatly refused to receive it. Flatly refused to believe. I'm thinking about a guy right now who did exactly that. And the next thing we knew, he had taken his own life. In eternity, one of the nicest guys you could ever meet, but he refused Jesus. In eternity without Christ. I can't imagine anything more tragic. My dear friends, today, I just feel God has given me this word for you this morning. This is the judgment, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil.
Oh, that you would come to the light today. Are you born again this morning? Do you know for sure that you're born again? Do you know for sure that you are the possessor right now of eternal life? We're going to pray in a moment. And I believe it's possible. Maybe somebody here needs to do business with God today. When this service is over, I just want everybody to move out quietly. I'm going to stay here at the front. And if there's anybody here and you want help, you're maybe in Nicodemus stage at the moment. You need help to be actually come to that place of being born again. I would be delighted to sit down with you this morning and show you more from the Word of God as to how you can take that step of faith and know that you have eternal life. I'm going to be available. Okay? But hear the word of the Lord, dear friends. Unless you're born again, you will never see the kingdom of God. Father, these are powerful words. We thank you, Lord, with all our hearts. Thank you for your love. Thank you for our amazing, wonderful Savior. Thank you for his incredible work at the cross. When he died in our place, he rose again, praise his wonderful name. Oh God, this morning we humbly ask, please grant that if there's anybody here who is not born again at this moment, that before they leave this little church today, they will be born from above. Please bless your word, Lord, for the glory of your holy and wonderful name. Amen.